Jesus, we love you. Father, we love you. Holy Spirit, we love you. We thank you for your presence in this place. We are making declarations today of who you are. We are entering into a season, God, where we, the church, are not going to be moved by what is happening on the outside, but Lord, we are moved by what is happening on the inside. Father, I thank you for the shaking that is here. I thank you, Lord, that you are shaking off everything that is not pleasing to you. I thank you, Lord, that you've come into this time frame of history. And Lord, we don't like the way that things look on the outside, but Lord, we know you are speaking. We know that you are in charge. We know that you will have the end result that you desire. Lord, we understand that something major is occurring here, Lord. We want to see it through your perspective. We want to understand the bigger picture. We want to understand our part in the bigger picture. God, we have to have you. We have to have you at the forefront. We have to have you telling us and directing us. Lord, we need you. We cannot win this in our own strength. We are not strong enough. We can't win this in our own mind. We are not smart enough. We cannot do this in our own power. We need your power. We need your mind. We need your strength. We need your insight, Lord. And so we are crying out to you, Father. We are crying out to you, Father. We are crying out to you, Father. Father, Father, come. Come, Father, come. Come in your glory. Come in your glory. Come in your power. Come in your strength, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. We can trust you. We can trust you. We have confidence in you, God. We put our confidence in you, God. We put our confidence, Lord, what we trust in. We put our confidence in who you are. We put our confidence in who you are. Oh, God, you are a great God. You are a good God. You are a faithful God. You are a loving God. You are the creator. You are the one that has been here before us. You are the one that saw what we'd be walking in. You are the one that orchestrated the answers that your church was going to need. You already saw the miracles that are needed to turn these things around. You have already spoken into this time frame of history. You already have a plan. You already have a destiny. You already have your purposes, God. We thank you that we are not without remedy, but we have a remedy found in you and who you are in your character, God. We thank you, Lord. We are not those that are scrambling. We are not beggars. We are not sinners anymore. We are not orphans, God. You have called us sons and daughters. You have called to us and you have transformed us out of one kingdom into the other kingdom. And Lord, today we cry out to operate in your kingdom. We let go of the kingdom of the world. We let go of the kingdom of man. We let go of our ways. We let go of Satan's kingdom. We let go of anything that ties us to his kingdom. And we declare, your kingdom come, your will be done right here on earth as it is in heaven, as it is in heaven, Lord. Nothing missing, nothing lacking, not powerless, not hoping we can make it through, not afraid, but Lord, in your presence, in your glory, in the fullness of who you are. We experience you. We experience who you are. We experience who we are. We experience the fullness of the manifestation that is coming because your sons and your daughters are willing to say yes. We're willing to say yes, Lord. We're willing to change. We're willing to be the change. We are willing to demonstrate, God, who you are on the earth. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God. Your majesty. Your majesty. Your majesty. You are the king. You are the ruler. You're not just creator. You are the one who governs. You are the one that has the keys. You are the one who gives us the kingdom. You are the one that has transported us. You are the one that is transforming us. Lord, I thank you. You are dealing with your sons and your daughters. You're getting us out of the mindset of old. We are not building a kingdom for ourselves. We are not building buildings for ourselves. We are not building things and trying to put things together in our own mind and in our own strength. But God, we are totally, fully relying on you. And because we are relying on you, because we have come to a new realization. There is power that the enemy has, but you have given us all power. You have given us all power over the power of the enemy. Lord, we walk in it. We walk in it in Jesus' name. We walk in it in Jesus' name. Here you are. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we declare that you are Elohim. We declare your name as Father today. You are creator. You are sovereign. You are just. You are Elohim. You are El Elyon. You are the Most High God. You are eternal. You are mighty. You are strong. You are powerful. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah to your name. Hallelujah. Father, 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 the Most High God, eternal, eternal God, always was, always will be. You are mighty. You are mighty. You are strong. You are our power. You are our God. You are our Father. Oh, we love you. We count on you today. We count on you today. We call on you today, Lord. El Shaddai, our almighty God. El Shaddai, our all-sufficient one. Everything we need is found in you. You are sufficient with everything we have need of. We can't even think of something that you haven't provided. We can't even think of something that you cannot do. You are El Shaddai. You are Almighty, you are all sufficient, Lord. Oh, our Father, you are Adonai. You are our Master. You are our Lord. You are our Protector. You, Adonai, we call forth Adonai. We call forth the attributes. We call forth your character, God. We call forth the Father called Adonai. We call you forth, Lord. We call you our Master. We surrender to you to being our Master. Lord, we call you our Lord. There is no other Lord but you. There is no other Lord but you. We will not serve any other Master. We will not serve any other Master, Lord. Oh, Lord, and as we call upon us, we know that we are protected by you. We know that the enemy cannot reach us. We know that we are hidden in Christ in you. Inside of you, Father. Inside of you, Daddy God. Oh, you have compassed us around with songs of deliverance. Oh, Lord, you have us under the shelter of your wings. Oh God, you are a great God. You are a mighty God. You are a powerful God. Oh Lord, we call you Jehovah. Oh, we call you Yahweh. Oh Lord, we call you the God of revelation. We call you the God of grace, that you are dwelling with your people, that you are guiding us, that you are delivering us, and even now you are receiving our worship. Even now you are happy, God. You've been waiting, you've been waiting, you've been wanting. You've been desiring your people to acknowledge you. You've been wanting your people to depend entirely upon you. Oh God, we are here, we are here, we are here. We are here to call you Jehovah. We are here to call you Lord. We are here to call you Lord. Oh, we call upon your name today, Lord. We call upon your name. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Father, the great I am, the one who's called us into personal covenant relationship, the one who has a personal covenant relationship for each one of your children. Oh, God, we cry for those who do not know you. We cry for those who do not know you. Lord, we cry for them to come. We cry for them to come to the great I am, the one that loves them, the one that has a personal covenant relationship for them, the one that is desiring them to connect with you, to become free indeed, to become reunited with you, to find their own identity, to find their purpose, to find their destiny, and to walk in it. We call for the sons and the daughters of the earth to arise into the acknowledgement of the great I am. We call to the north, we call to the south, we call to the east, we call to the west, the great I am, the great I am, the Father of the universe, the creator of all mankind. He has a covenant with you. He has a covenant waiting for you. He will not leave you. He hasn't forgotten about you. He's inviting you. He's inviting you to come. He's inviting you to come and to see his greatness, to see his glory. Lord, we give you praise. We give you praise. We call you Jehovah Jireh. Oh God, thank you. Oh Lord, our provision will not come any other way, but in Jehovah Jireh, our provider. You are the one who brings deliverance. You are the one that brings restoration. You are the one, Lord, that provides for us. You are the one that is seeing to everything that we have need of. Lord, you are our economic survival kit. You are the one that causes us to thrive. You are the one that does not withhold the riches of heaven. You are the one that gives us what we have need of and more to give out. We call you Jehovah Jireh, the provider to your children, the one that wants us to walk in abundance, the one that has more than enough. Oh Lord, we call you by that name. Oh Father, you are a good God. You are a providing God. You are a God that doesn't leave us with less than we have need of. But Lord, you have abundantly supplied, because that is who you are. You are an abundant supplier. Our Father, you are an abundant. You are our abundant supplier. And we give you praise. 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 We give you praise, Lord. We give you praise. We give you praise. Oh God, oh God, our Father, our provider, the one that breaks through, 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 hallelujah, the one that won't forget, the one that won't forget your promises concerning us, the one that said that we can give and you will give back, shaken down, running together till it overflows to the full, Lord. That is who you are. We declare who you are today. We declare who you are to the whole world. We declare you as Jehovah Jireh. He is your provider. Yeah. bank accounts. We won't look to Washington. We won't look to government. We will not look to banks. We will not look to employers. We look to you, Father Jehovah Jireh. Jehovah Rophi, we call you Jehovah Rophi. You are the God that restores. You are the God that cures. You are the God that sustains. You are the God that takes care of the physical. You are the God that takes care of the spiritual. We call you Father, Jehovah Rophi, the God that restores. You are restoring all things. You are taking back what the enemy has stolen. You are giving it back to us. You are bringing us into a place of restoration. You are changing our mindsets that we see the restoration and become a part of it. Oh, Father, may we see what you have made us to be. Let us see with spiritual eyes. Let us walk in your kingdom as your sons and your daughters who know you by names, who know you by character. We glorify you today, Lord. And we call you Jehovah Shalom. Jehovah Shalom, the Father of Peace. Lord, where there is unrest, where there is lawlessness, where there is people trying to make things come into order, Lord, we speak the name Jehovah Shalom, the peace of this world. Lord, I speak your name, Jehovah Shalom, into every pocket of where there is a revolution. And instead of a revolution, I call for the revelation. Lord, I thank you there is a revelation to be found in our Father. There is a revelation to be found for the answers that we need. There is a revelation that will meet the deepest need of every heart that can bring peace no matter what our circumstances are. And so we proclaim Jehovah Shalom, the peace of God. You are the remedy. as you call forth my names, and as you recognize my character, you see I respond. You see the atmosphere is filled with faith and with my glory. You see, it's not an exercise of the mind. It is an exercise of the Spirit. And when you declare who I am, and when you receive who I am in your life, don't you know that you are empowered by it? Do you not know that my very attributes begin to flow inside and outside of you? Do you not know that my Son made you one with me? Do you not know that the same characteristics that you declare, that you hear, that you read in my word, that you come into agreement with, becomes to be one inside of you, so that you are the power extension of heaven to rule and to have dominion on this earth? Did you forget my will? Did you forget who you are is found inside of who I am? So come back to the great I am. Come back and let your minds be blown. Let your minds be blown with truth. Let your minds be blown with who I am. Let it become personal. Let my covenant be one with you. Let my blessings overflow you. And it will not happen to the beggars. It will happen to those who read my word and get my revelation of who I am inside of them. Quit thinking low. Think high. Quit thinking you're not good enough. You are my child. I have called you to greatness. I have called you to be a conqueror. I have called you to be on this earth at this time to shift and to change and to make it through the shaking, because I'm shaking everything that can be shaken, but I'm shaking the things that are dross out of you so that you can arise and be those people you inwardly desire to be, that you will be the force of righteousness that will call them to righteousness, the force of reason that will call forth reason that goes beyond the natural reason, but the reasoning of heaven, those that have an understanding of what my will is, and they will announce it, and people will fall on their knees. They will fall on their knees to proclaim, who is this God that you serve? Who is this force that I hear? What is this that is happening in my midst? Oh, my church, my people, my sons, my daughters, I have created you for such a time as this. Do not fear, but arise, 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 church. Arise in who you are as you acknowledge who I am. And you will see the change, because you will be the change. The secret is not a secret. It is a validity to your very spirit. Satan has been defeated. And you have been called to rule and reign with me. Let the glory that resides in you become so full that it overtakes you. I am calling for those people. I am calling for the ones who will pray. I am calling for the intercessors who will stay on their face until they know who they are. Before they come out of the closet, they will see a revelation of what I've called them to be, so that they can go out and do what I've called them to do. Those that refuse to see themselves through the mirror image of the devil, but through the mirror image of me. Face to face, glory to glory. Time frame has shifted. time frame has shifted. Know the season that you are in. Know the season that you are now in. It is a season of the birthing. It is the season of the birthing. It is not a season to die. It is a season to live. Awake, awake. Okay. I want to go over some things with you. I keep asking the Lord, and where are we? Where are we, and what are we to do? What is going on around us? Everybody's asking those questions. Did you guys receive who he is today? Okay. I want to remind you of some of the things that happened this year. Well, it started last year, actually. So I wrote the fasting guide, and we've already gone through it three times. But I didn't write it. The Holy Spirit wrote it. But now it's like the prophecy and the fasting guide are today's news. What happened in December was an alarm went off in my house. But it's not an alarm of the natural. It's an alarm that wakes me out of the sleep in the middle of the night. It's an alarm. I've only had it three times in my entire life. But when God does this, it's because he's announcing something and he's awakening things. He's trying to let us know that there is an alarm sounding because something major is happening on the earth. And so I didn't know. I just knew when I prayed, I knew it was witchcraft. How many of you know that rebellion is witchcraft? If you could recognize what's going on in the earth right now, it is rebellion. If you had to sum it up in a word, lawlessness is rebellion. If you had to say, why is there such a struggle right now? Well, it's rebellion. It's rebelling because, but not to accuse people, but to awaken people to the truth that the body of Christ is also part of the rebellion. Because we have rebelled against submitting fully to God. We've rebelled against him by demanding our own ways or putting him in a box of what we think he's supposed to do in the church and outside of the doors. We keep trying to operate in an old system that is now crushed. And we will never be able to continue to go forward with God until we go forward with what he is doing and what he wants it to look like. And so that which we are seeing on the outside is really an inward cry of men and women who have come to the end of what they know is right. They just know change needs to come. They just are crying out for change. Some of them are responding wrong. We all know destroying things is wrong. Could we agree with that? I don't care who you are. You're not called to destruction. You are called to build. You are called to restore. You are called to be a part of the answer, not part of the problem. And so more problems don't rectify an old problem. Just saying. So, where are we? Well, that's what his disciples wanted to know. They wanted to know what is going on. And so, here's how Jesus answered. This is Matthew 24. Verse 3, while he was seated on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately and said, tell us, when will this take place? And what will be the sign of your coming and the end, the completion, the consummation of the age? And Jesus answered them, be careful. Be careful, people. Be careful that no one misleads you, deceiving you and leading you into error. Do you see that people are being led into error? For many will come in the strength of my name, appropriating the name that belongs to me. People are trying to supersede the great I am, all those names we just said, with another name, with a name they prefer, with what they think is going to bring change. I don't care if it could be a Republican, it could be a Democrat, it could be whatever they're chanting, it could be CHOP or CHAZ or whatever they're doing now. Okay, and is that working? No, they're murdering each other. They will lead many astray. And you will hear the wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not frightened or troubled. Did he say something there right now? He said, see to it. He said, you're going to have to see to it. He's talking to his disciples. Are you his disciple? Then you're going to have to see to it. See to it that you are not frightened. That means you can't be operating in fear. You just joined them. You understand? Or troubled. That's what's happening. We are so freaked out. People are freaked out. They're afraid to go outside. They're afraid to move in any. They're afraid because Satan has come with his tactics to try to isolate the body away from the body. He's trying to get us to focus on everything else that's going on around us instead of to focus on the truth of who he is. He is Jehovah Jireh. He is our healer. And so, if we could see ourselves in the bubble of our Father, then we would know we could still be wise and walk without fear. Could we be wise if we have his mind? Yes. Can we walk not frightened? Okay, the people that are here need to say yes. Thank you. I can't hear them. Okay. Hallelujah. All right. But he says this, for this must take place, good news, but the end is not yet. Say, it's not yet. No, but it's coming. It's not yet, but we're beginning to see the end coming. He's training his disciples in what to not participate in. Because he's saying, don't get caught up in the fray. Don't be a part of what is wrong. You've got to stay connected to me so that you can be part of what is right. Our Father, Jesus, Holy Ghost, all live with us. Is that true? Okay. And he tells us, nation is going to rise against nation. Oh my gosh, how much do we... Oh, maybe I shouldn't say. I don't care. How much do we like China right now? Right. How much do you think they like us? I mean, do you freak out every time something comes home from Amazon and it goes from China? I'm like, what in the world? Does everything come from China to the United States? There's got to be some reconciling of this picture here. When you start depending on another country, when you have what you need within your own country, there is something wrong. And what it does is it, you know what the Bible says? It says that the borrower is subject to the lender. And so if they become the ruling economic force, we become subject to them and their dictatorship. And so what is happening is we have come into league with people who do not operate as God intended them to operate. And so we begin to have that influence in our society. Do you understand? Okay, I'll stop there. I could go on a rant right there. Okay. I'll just go think about that. Okay. All right. Nation will rise against nation. Korea. They want to blow us up. Just saying. But you know what? They don't have to. Because all you have to do is send us a virus. And we freaking lose our minds. We lose our trust in God. We don't know who we are. We run around like maniacs. We're like, oh my God, the fear factor is so intense that people can't even think straight. I'm a precautionary person. I wear my mask when I go to Publix. I don't do anything crazy. I use the hand sanitizer. I've never washed my hands so much in my entire life. I can't hardly wear my rings. It's driving me crazy. They fall off after a while from all the soap. It's ridiculous. But okay, if we learned anything, we learned sanitization, for the love of God. We are finally clean on the outside. Now we got to get that scrubbed up clean feeling on the inside. Amen? Okay, now he clearly states this to his disciples, and we are his disciples today. And he says, nation will rise against nation. We know this. Okay, kingdom against kingdom. Now, see, we don't understand that so much because we're not walking in the kingdom of God like we should. Because if we understood the things of the kingdom and we were walking like we were under the complete rule of our King, the Father, the one that has all power, the one that has all strength, the one that always was, the one that always will be, the one that is in covenant with us, the one that has already won the victory, the one that goes before us and makes our way, the one that heals us, the one that provides for us, we would not be the trembling, fearful part of the world system. Now, I'm not saying that there's no fear to be had. I'm not saying that we should be reckless. I'm saying, hello, you got the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. If you walk by the Spirit, you're the sons of God. If you get in a car and you're driving down the road, and you have the Spirit of God in the car with you because he's inside of you, and he says, don't go that direction, and later you find out there was an explosion on the side of the road where you would have been, do you recognize that God saved you from destruction? Can we be that smart? Well, do you think that the power of the Holy Spirit can also guide you away from where it is dangerous? Can he highlight to you what you're supposed to stay away from? Can he highlight to you what you're supposed to connect to? Can he tell you when there's something that you need to be aware of? I mean, you better do this, church, because we don't know who's going to kill you. I mean, isn't that what they're telling you? I'm telling you. People are mad right now. They're walking around in anger. They'd just as soon shoot you as look at your face. I mean, there's no reservation. They just act out. You know what I'm saying? They just act out. Somebody at Anthony's work the other day got in a fight with somebody else. And Anthony, being Anthony, got right in the middle of them. And the big guy took a hold of Anthony's neck. Now, what does that sound like? Oh, maybe that's just running around right now. He was having a hard time breathing. Does that sound familiar to anyone? And he said, you got 30 seconds to drop your hand or I am going to wreck you. And you know, when Anthony said it with authority, the guy let him down. And then he goes, you meet me outside. The guy's going, what? Are you going to beat the crap out of me or what? You know? So I would think that too with Anthony. And so Anthony takes him outside and he goes, you don't understand what you were just operating in. You see, the church needs to tell the truth. He said, you could have killed that guy. I saw it in your eyes. I saw what you were about to do, and you were going to destroy his life and yours too. You should be thankful that I was there to protect you from what was really going on. You see, that's what the church is supposed to be like. The church is supposed to have eyes that see what other people can't see and to be the remedy that stands in between and says, not on my watch. You don't get to decide what is happening today. I get to decide what's happening today because the one who lives inside of me is greater than the one that is operating inside of you. Everybody's like, well, what are you doing? Maybe you need to go and you need to preach in the middle of it. Okay, well, you better hear from God. I saw a preacher that went in to chop, and he almost got chopped. They tackled him to the ground. They were beating him up. He was on the floor. They were kicking him, and they grabbed a hold of him, and they smashed his head to the ground. And guess what he was saying? I can't breathe. I said, Satan, you are a liar. You are not taking our life away. You are not taking our breath away. This is the body of Christ. We don't have color or creed. We are the body of Christ. We are one man filled with the Spirit of Almighty God. Whom shall we fear? We are not those that don't have power that is supposed to surge through us to bring a remedy. Okay, he said, there will be famines and earthquakes in place after place. We're seeing it. All over and destroyed crops all over. You know, then they told us that the whatever kind of killer bee that was supposed to be. And they tried to scare us into that one. Everybody's looking for the killer bee. And then they go, there was like two of them somewhere. Okay, all right, well, just stay away from us. Okay, whom shall we fear? Whom shall we fear if God is for us? Then who and what can be against us? Did the church forget who we are? Oh, yeah. Yes, you're right. Okay, but all of this is the beginning. It's just the beginning. The early pains of the birth pains. That's where we are right now. But see, God didn't call us to not know that. He called us to be aware of the enemy's tactics so that we can reinforce ourselves and who we are. Say, I am a child of God, and I'm not going to fear. For the Lord, my God, my Father, he's with me. I win. Okay. Oh, happy Father's Day, by the way. I had a big speech for that. Maybe later. Okay. A.W. Tozer said this. A scared world needs a fearless church. Esther called. She goes, oh, by the way, Dawn, A.W. Tozer, I go, what'd he say? A.W. Tozer is really good. You should read his books. A scared world needs a fearless church. But guess what? You can't be fearless unless you know who you are. And you can't be fearless unless you know who he is. You see, we're scrambling around trying to figure stuff out when we have the rule book right here available to us, except for we're not in it, we're not devouring it, we're not eating it. We're not letting it be so down deep on the inside of us that when they come up with the next thing, we'll go, oh, no way. Can't come nigh my dwelling place. Whom shall I fear? Well, you know, that's going to be your neighborhood next. No, it ain't. Ain't going to be my neighborhood. Is it going to be your neighborhood?
No.
Okay. The church has created its own standards in their own buildings, and they have their attention turned to what? I don't know. Numbers, maybe. Or, I don't know. I don't even want to. It makes me sound like I'm accusing somebody. I don't even care what anybody else does. I just know for me and my house, we are going to serve the Lord, and we are going to serve him in strength and in power and in humility, but we are going to walk in the greatness of God because we are done with the nonsense of the enemy. You are great, and you are carrying greatness on the inside. And you're going to have to let the greatness of God come all the way up from your teeny tiny little toes all the way up to your brain so that you begin to operate like God wants you to operate on the earth. Let your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That is our cry, and that is who we are. Okay. We need to return to the reverence of our Father. When I was growing up, we used to watch Father Knows Best. I'm showing my age now. Don't look that up. It was a whole sitcom. And all it was about was how wise Daddy was. Like, you know, whatever went on in the house, Daddy had the answer, and Daddy was always right. It was actually really good, because you know what happened? Honor was being spoken to the father of the house. Honor was being displayed, and wisdom was in the father of the house. Well, I want to ask you something. Where are the spiritual fathers, and what has happened to them? Father's Day, what's happening to the spiritual fathers? Part of what has happened to the spiritual fathers is that every sitcom today makes fun of them. The kids tell the parents what to do. There's no honor. There's disrespect on every side. They're talking about how stupid they are. They talk back to them all the time. I mean, I break it in Jesus' name. It's a bunch of nonsense. You need to turn the channel. And you need to start speaking things that are not anymore as though they are. There are some things that need to be revived. And honoring fathers is one of them. And fathers being home is another one. What kind of fathers neglect their children? What kind of fathers treat their wives badly? Spiritual fathers love their wives as Jesus loved the church. Are you kidding? Then wives don't have a problem submitting to you. Ding dong. Wow. Happy Father's Day. Okay. If it is a reflection in the natural of what is happening in the spirit, you understand? Like, I honor Duffy. Duffy is a spiritual father. He came through his life not having anything. But he led his children right when he found the truth. And he's still leading them right because he found the truth. And he's still speaking truth whether they like it or not. And you know what? They respond. Because when you get it, when you understand that you're carrying around the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost on the inside of you, you don't have a problem being in authority. Do you hear me? Not a dictator. Not somebody who shoves you around. Not somebody who just tells you, you've got to obey me because I said so. Didn't you hate that when your parents told you that? Except for back then, we just went in the corner and went, but we didn't talk back. You know why? Because we still recognized they were authority, even if we didn't like what they were saying. Now we just tell them, okay, well, you know, you were so rude to me and you slapped me, child, but, you know, now you have to have your device taken away for 5 minutes. Oh, yay, that'll do it. That'll change the world right there. That's life-changing. This is how far the church has gone away from the dictates of God. He wants us to acknowledge him as the Father. We don't even know how to relate to a Father who wants us to do anything for him without rebelling against him. We want to tell him what we're willing to do and make him align to us. What in the world is going on? Well, the nation of the kingdom of Satan is trying to rise up across the board in people to stop us from being the people of God. To stop us from behaving like we have a Father that has given us authority, delegated authority over all the power of the enemy. Okay, well, I am never going to know what I said and didn't say. Okay. Okay, here we go. Now listen, this is 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 4. Sorry for those who are trying to follow me. It's impossible, but okay. For though we walk in the flesh, here we are. Okay, we're flesh and blood, is that correct? Okay, we are not waging war according to the flesh. You see, this is the problem right now. People are waging war this way. They're demanding their own way. They're doing their own thing, okay? And if you do that, it won't ever work. Every system that has ever been birthed by man to do it this way fails eventually because it can't stand. But we, who's we? Us, the church. We are not waging war according to the flesh. You see, if we start doing it this way, we empower the enemy. We're just another part of the problem. You know, well, you know, I don't like what they stand for. You know, oh my goodness. I can't even stand hearing another negative thing. Here's the news broadcast you need to be listening to. A new and better covenant based upon new and better promises. And don't think you're going to change stuff any other way. Okay. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, hallelujah, but they have what? Divine power to destroy strongholds. You see, what we're up against right now is strongholds that the enemy has built. But we are not going to operate like the flesh trying to come against them this way. We're not going to sit down and have a round table and get them to agree with us and things are going to change. Now, I'm not against talking to people. I think communication is good. I think people need to say what they need to say. But trying to change things because we had a nice little talk. Come on, get real. I've talked to people until my tongue wants to fall out of my mouth. And if they don't want to hear what I'm saying, they're not going to listen. But when I go into the prayer closet and I get on my knees and I repent in the gap for their ridiculous attitude or for whatever sin they're involved in, and then I go back and talk to them, suddenly I have broken a stronghold over their mind and they can finally hear something I'm saying. We don't care. We're not going to spend that much time praying for somebody else. We're too busy praying for us. Not this church. Not this church. Not God's church. The intercessors are being called into a place of warfare right now, whether you like it or whether you don't. And there needs to be that care for people, and not the care that you're accusing them, the care that you recognize the problem and you're willing to repent on behalf of them so that they can begin to move out of it and get around the stronghold and come into His marvelous light. Come on, we are the church. We don't think like normal people. All right. I'm going to tell you what you're capable of. It's like, okay, now you know I'm going to screw this up for sure because it's a man thing. No, I'm going to screw this up because it's natural. Okay, it's like we've been given A-12 rifles. Does anybody know who that is? A-12 rifles. Do you know Eric Taylor? AR-15 or AR-12? Yeah, you knew it too.
AR-15
rifles. Okay, I knew it. AR-15 rifles. He tried to tell me this story that Herbert got revelation. I should have made Herbert say it. You could have told me. You're sitting right there, you know. Okay, so. It's like we have the weapon, okay, but it is sitting right beside us, and God has given us, now not in the natural, please, oh my God, please don't go out and get rifles. I'm talking about weapons, you know, and we're fighting against the enemy in spirit with spiritual things, but we are not taking what God has provided for us as a tool to destroy our enemy. You know, the people who understand that rifle, and they know how to use it, and they have learned about it, and they know how to aim it, and they know the destruction it can cause, if someone comes around them, they're not afraid. You know why? Because they know how to use the weapons of their warfare. That's natural stuff. But I'm talking about the Word of God, and the weapons of our warfare are found right in here. And this weapon has been given to us, but if we don't look into its pages and find out how we're supposed to utilize it, it just sits there like the rifle sitting in the closet, and if you never get it out, hey, it doesn't do you any good. You have to stand on it. And in order to stand on it, you have to have it in your heart. Now I'm going to tell you who you are. You ready? Luke 10:19. Oh yes, I love it. Behold, pay attention. I give you the authority to do what? On serpents and scorpions. Do you think he's talking about a snake and a wiggly thing on the ground? Oh, I could just see you guys outside going, trying to find him so you could step on him. No, he's saying, I'm giving you authority. In case you didn't understand it, he goes further and says, over all, everybody say all. Mm-hmm. The power of the enemy and nothing. Not one thing. Not one thing. Not one droplet. Not one lie. Not one threat. Not one loss of a job. Not one low bank account. Not one injury. Not one disease. Not one part of your body not working right. Nothing. The power of the enemy to kill, steal, and destroy you has been destroyed by the destroyer, and nothing by any means shall hurt you. Who are you? The church. Does this apply to you? Then you have to take that breathe it in and keep that as a standard in your life. When the enemy comes, you just go, nothing. Nothing. Pretty soon the enemy comes and you go, snake. Comes running at you another way. Scorpion. You have to recognize what's in operation, and you have to be the authority God has put on the earth to bring about the remedy. Now, when we begin to operate in the spirit instead of the flesh, then the things that God says are going to happen there in Matthew 24, we are going to have a reprieve. We are going to have a time set aside that is going to save us and give us time for the witnessing that needs to go on, because there is a shaking going on. And that shaking is shaking out all of the things that need to be shook out, even of the body of Christ, so that when we wake up and all of it is on the floor, we're going to go, my God, the only thing that matters is what we do for eternity. The things of this world are going to look strangely dim. We're not going to care about all kinds of stuff we used to care about. We're going to be looking at people like, oh my God, they need us so bad. You're not going to be looking at them going, I hate them. Blah. You know, look at them. Look at what they're doing. It's so wrong. Oh no, you're going to be going, look at them crying out. Look at them in need. Look at what they have bound up around them. I break that stronghold in Jesus' name, and I release them into the favor of God. And I call upon that which is calling through them for answers. And I speak the answer is found in Jesus Christ, the Lord, the Savior of the world. And I call them out of fear, and I call them into His marvelous light, and I call them out of darkness, and I call them out of that kingdom, that frustrating, horrible, no-win kingdom, into the kingdom of God's dear Son, where they can be a part of the answer and be a part of the proactive church of the living God. That is who we are. Okay, I'm going to finish with this. Hebrews 12. 26. Yet once more I will make to tremble not the earth only, but the heavens. And this world, yet once more, signifying the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that have been made, that those things which are not shaken may remain. That's a whole lot of words to say this. Every level of society is being shaken one right now because God's plan is coming into play. Verse 28. Wherefore, receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us have grace. Grace, the empowering presence of God that comes upon our heart so that we can be like Him and do what He's called us to do. That grace, that definition of grace. Whereby we may offer service. Oh, really? We are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken by the enemy. It cannot be shaken by circumstances. And we are going to walk in the fullness of who we are, doing what He called us to do, so that we can offer service that is well-pleasing to God with humility and reverence and awe to our Father, for our God is a consuming fire. Now, when I was watching the fires everywhere burning things down, destroying things, I'm like, what in the world? You know what the Lord said? Well, that's an outward manifestation of the sons and daughters of God not coming into what they're supposed to, because that's supposed to be the fire of the Holy Ghost. He said that's the kind of fire that's supposed to be falling on buildings. That's the kind of fire that's supposed to be coming from the inside of us. That's the kind of fire that he is desiring right now. And because the church has not been filled with his fire, then we are not exploding where we need to explode to bring the remedy. And so Satan goes, I can feel it shaking. I can feel what's going on, though, because the sons and daughters are about ready to arise. And when they do, they're going to try to come against me just like those other ones did. And just like that Jesus did. And just like those disciples did. And I don't want them to change the world because I want to be the Lord over the world. Remember, he wants to wear the crown equal with God. But he never will because he never can. And so he's shaking, and he thinks it's of him, and he is causing fire to fall. But no, God is going to bring a fire, and he's going to bring it through you and me, because we are the church of the living God, and we submit to our Father, and he will show up, and he will begin to bring the change that is needed. Amen? Amen. Amen. Okay. Okay, I want you to take your offering. This is because I want you to understand something today. You've got to think of it. I know some of you do it on your phone. Some of you said ahead of time, just if, do we even have offering envelopes out anymore? Are we? Okay, right there. Oh, and they're behind the chairs too. All right, I just want you to put one in your hand. Just put it in your hand. And if you give online or whatever, this is symbolic right now. This is just a prophetic statement, all right? You can do a prophetic statement with me, right? I mean, if you give your tithes inside of the envelope, that's okay too, and you can put it in there. But I'm just saying, however you give your tithes, this is symbolic today. Because we're going to make some declarations. Thank you so much. Okay. Because it is a spiritual force against the enemy. When we recognize, this is just to get you in recognition of what you're doing. It looks like we're going to take money in the natural, and we're going to put it in an envelope, or we're going to send it, and it's just going to be because we love our church. Okay, well, that's nice, but that's not what I want you to do. I want you to understand you are releasing through your tithes a spiritual force against the enemy that will cause a release and a reverse of the curse. Amen. This is just one way that we show the enemy he's not winning. It's one way that we release the truth of God into our situation. Well, I don't have enough money right now. Great. This is how you get enough money. Amen. This has been proven. How many of you could say this has been proven in your life? Okay. See? Look. Okay. So the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. So they're mighty. They're pulling down the strongholds of lack when we release into the spirit the things that go against the natural, and we do it on purpose. We are giving our tithes on purpose because we know it is a force against the enemy to release. He has to release his stronghold of lack. Somebody say amen. I'm talking about your money. Do you get freaked out? No, you better be happy about this. It will change you. It will change your circumstance. Okay. So we're giving to the kingdom of God. Whenever we give anything to the kingdom of God, whether it's praise to God like we did this morning, whether it's our tithes right now, it causes the devil to shake because he knows we mean business. This is my life represented in what I have. I'm giving my life to God right now. Okay. All right, get your seed ready. And get ready for a victory. Okay, so lift it up before the Lord, and I want you to make these declarations. You probably need to stand up. A little bit more forceful. I don't know why. I guess it's taking a stand against the enemy. Okay. I want you to announce this. God's word is the final authority. And so right now, I speak death to lack, and I speak abundant life into my finances, into my family, into my church, and into the world. God's word says that I can speak life, or I could speak death. So I speak death to the coronavirus, and I speak life to those that are suffering from it. I speak death to division, and I speak life to unity and love. I speak death to destruction, and I speak life back into those who are suffering from destruction. I speak faith to the fearful. I speak an activation of the kingdom of God, and I release that which I have on the inside of me to be the remedy that has been given to me by a holy God. I declare I am revived, and I am bringing revival, and I am bringing truth, and I am bringing souls out of the kingdom of darkness into his marvelous light in the name of Jesus Christ, for the Father and his name to be glorified. Hallelujah! Woo! Now, when you release that, you are releasing it as a spiritual sign to the enemy. You think you can get me to withhold anything from you? No, you're not going to get me to back up from God. You're not getting me to withhold from my God. I am giving him all that I am and all that I have. And when you release it with that kind of determination, there is nothing the enemy can do about it. He is going to be shaking in his boots because we are taking the stance of the holy ones that live for a holy God. Amen. Okay. I love you. But who do you love the most? And who loves you the most? And who loves them the most? You're going to go out of here different because of today. Amen. Amen. Amen.